It's Vikings Purple Past on The Fan.
Bumps it out to the left to the 15. Sprints inside the 5. Touchdown!
Now, celebrating the great past years of Vikings football, here's The Fan's Mark Rosen.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Vikings Purple Past. Mark Rosen, your host again with this Tuesday evening. And joining me from San Diego, beautiful San Diego, former Viking tight end, one of the co-hosts of my Rosen Sports Sunday show just a few years ago, Byron Chamberlain. Good evening, Byron. How are you?
Good, Mark. How are you doing? It's good to hear your voice again.
Well, it's great to hear yours as well. And let's just sort of play catch-up with you right now and find out what you're up to these days. Your last year was with the Washington Redskins, is that correct, in 2003?
Yeah, my last year officially was Washington Redskins 2003. I actually signed back that next year in 2004 with Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Went to training camp with the Broncos, and I eventually retired there.
So what have you been up to since your so-called retirement? I know you went back and you got your bachelor's degree, which was a big thing, I'm sure, for you and your family.
Yeah, I went back to Wayne State. Actually, I had two classes to finish to get my degree, and I put it off for years, and it's one thing that really kind of bugged me and kind of haunted me that, you know, I've done everything that I've always set out to do. Every kind of goal that I had that I started, I've always accomplished it. And that's the one thing that was left unaccomplished. So what I actually did was I packed up and went back to Wayne State, stayed in the dorm, the whole college experience, finished those two classes, graduated. My mom came up. She was so proud.
Well, that, it must have been, as you said, it was sort of on your unfinished business list, but yet it took a little while for you to get there. Was there a point when you said you thought to yourself you weren't going to get it? And what sort of drove you to make sure you did accomplish that goal of yours?
You know what? There was never a point where I thought I wouldn't finish it. I always knew I'd finish it. I've just been putting it off, playing in retirement, doing a lot of traveling,
mm-hmm.
Doing a lot of playing golf with my former Denver Bronco teammate, Terrell Davis. And it just came down to one day I said, I need to get this done. I need to finish it. Let me take the time out. It's only two classes. It's not like I had a huge load to carry, so went back to Wayne State and got my degree in communications.
So you're living in San Diego now, just dabbling. What are you up to these days?
Well, I'm kind of working with Terrell Davis, like I said, my former teammate.
Mm-hmm.
Brock. He has his own line of barbecue sauce out now called Terrell Davis Mile High Salute Barbecue Sauce.
Nice.
So I'm helping him out with that. Also doing a little, getting my broadcast career back started up this year. Doing some things with NBC7 out here as far as the post-game mm-hmm. shows for the San Diego Chargers, and some things with Fox 5.
Well, you were always a natural at it. I know you're always very good at it. That's why I had you on the show all the time, and you always brought honesty to the table and analyzing things. And right now, Viking fans need a dose of something right now because, you know, they opened up the season, as you know, Byron, out in San Diego against the Chargers, and they had the first half lead. The Chargers came back and won. Happened to them week two, week three, and then yesterday they didn't look good at all. And even though they had chances to win, end up losing to the Kansas City Chiefs. So, you've been in locker rooms like that. You've been in fact, I think your season of 2002 started 0-4 with the Vikings, correct?
Yes, it really did. And it's a hard thing in the locker room right now as players because right now you understand that you're getting scrutinized by everybody, not just coaches, but media, fans. Everybody's starting to question everything. So the one thing you have to do as a player is you got to keep believing in the system, and you got to keep working, just working hard. And, you know, find out. You got to be honest with yourself. Find out what's going on, where the mistakes are, and you know, pay extra attention to detail to those mistakes. And the one thing I see. From the Vikings, there's two things I see. For me, I think we gotta become an Adrian Peterson team. It's got to be all about Adrian Peterson all day. I think we definitely got to just give him the ball, and then just predicate your play action passes off that. But he should be the guy that we give the ball to 25 to 30 times a game. And I know he's had some injuries early on in his career, you may be a little concerned about that. But when you've given a guy the type of contract that you've given him, I think it was, what is it, $90 million, something like that, he's got to be the bread and butter of your offense, and he's got to be your workhorse.
Well, I think most people would agree with you, Byron. He carried the ball 23 times on Sunday for 80 yards, which is, you know, modest the number of yards. But I think Emmett Thomas, who's the longtime, he's the defensive coordinator with Kansas City, was talking to Pete Bursich. He says, you know, we just said to ourselves, we're not going to let Adrian beat us, that we don't really respect the Vikings, you know, downfield passing game. So we're going to continue to put 8-9 guys in the box, as they say, and dare him to beat us, because that's just the way the game is. We don't feel that the Vikings can beat us with the passing game.
Yeah, and that was the other thing is there's guys on the outside that's got to step up. Bernard Berrien a couple years ago had a monster season, and he's got to be one of the guys that steps up and performs this year. Percy Harvin is a playmaker, and I think we got to get that guy more touches.
Well, in a situation like that, and again, you were in a locker room in 2002 with the Vikings, went 0-4. You had a new coach. Mike Tice was the first full year, much the way that Leslie Frazier, even though inheriting the team late last year, had his first full go at it. How, as a player, do you look at the coaching staff and want to make sure you believe in what they're selling to you at this point when you are 0-4 and things just are not, you're not executing, you're not getting the job done?
You bring up a great point, Mark. It's hard because, you know, you said he's a new guy, a new voice in the locker room, and he's telling you, you know, follow me, but the results aren't there. But, you know, the big thing is to just stay the course. Because you know he's been a successful coach as a defensive coach, so you kind of know what you think he knows what he's talking about as a coach and as a player. He was a successful player in this league too, and just things being so new, a lot of times you don't have that instant success that you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
It may look good on paper, but you know, like the old saying is, you don't play the games on paper. And the final thing that the Vikings got to do is they just gotta finish. They got to finish games when they got the lead. They got to find ways on offense and ways on defense to protect that lead and finish the game.
Is it a matter of also somebody standing up in that locker room and not necessarily giving the old college rah-rah speech, but showing leadership? Is that an intangible? Does that happen? Does it need to happen when you have teams? Whether you're the Philadelphia Eagles right now, and they have a bigger case, I think, because of their so-called dream team at 1-3, And the Vikings at 0-4, where you have guys that can step up and be sort of that, you know, jump on my back guys, we got to get this thing figured out. Now, the Vikings have a new quarterback, at least in the system, with Donovan McNabb, who's been around the league for 12, 13 years. I don't know if he's that guy or not, because, you know, right now he's sort of on thin ice himself, I think, a little bit.
It may need to go to that. It may take a guy like Jared Allen, a guy who produces on the field, and he's everywhere. It may take a guy like Kleinsaucer, who's been around that team for a long time. I think he's the elder statesman of that team. It may take one of those guys to you know, call a meeting in the locker room, get in guys' faces, and say, "Hey, we got to pick this thing up. And we got to find ways to finish games. We're starting off, you know, great, but you know, it's a 60-minute ball game, and we got to find ways to play all 60 minutes."
Let me ask you this, and I don't expect you to name names, but have you been in locker rooms when teams get off to bad starts like this? You, as I mentioned, in 2002. And I think from a fan's perspective, from a media's perspective, we often wonder, do guys really care? Do they have it within them? It's a rough game. It's a dangerous game. But do they really care enough to say, you know what, I got to give that extra right now, or are they just looking at the paycheck?
You know what, the majority of guys do. 90% of that locker room, they care. And those are the guys that, like the Jared Allens, that would come out and they're going to play and they're going to give you everything they got. Doesn't matter the score, doesn't matter the wins and losses. They're just, they love the game. They're going to play hard and give you everything they got, regardless. And you do have guys that, you know, they're human, and they look at the records and they say, okay, well, our chances of making the playoffs are gone or slim. So, you know, pick a space check. Yeah, you do have that in locker room.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing that you have to, you got to find out those guys and weed those type of guys out of your locker room.
Talking to Byron Chamberlain, tight end with the Minnesota Vikings, 2001-2002 seasons. Of course, having started his career in a big way with the Denver Broncos, mentioning working with Terrell Davis. Those years must strike a grill chord in you, Byron, the wonderful times you had with that group of players you had in Denver.
Yeah, it really does. You know, I realize how special that time was and those teams were. I'll tell you, the one event that really, this year, that really kind of solidified that in my mind was my my teammate, mentor, Shannon Sharp, going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame this year. Going out to Canton with him and tons of teammates showing up there, John Elway, Terrell Davis, Steve Atwater, all those guys showing up. It was a special moment, special occasion. It really showed how special that our teams were and that that organization was during that time period.
Talking to Byron Chamberlain, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Vikings Purple Past here on The Fan. And welcome back to Vikings Purple Past. Mark Rosen again with you on this Tuesday evening, talking to Byron Chamberlain out in his home in San Diego, the former Viking tight end, and started his career in a very successful way at the Denver Broncos. And hard for Viking fans not to think of the 98 season here, when everyone expected the Vikings to play the Denver Broncos in that 99 Super Bowl. Didn't quite happen from this perspective, and everyone still wonders how that game would have turned out, Byron, because the Broncos ended up playing the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, we wound up playing the Falcons, and to tell you the truth, we as a team, we shouldn't have been, but we were watching that game on the Jumbotron as we're warming up for our AFC Championship game with the Jets, and we saw Gary miss the field goal, and we saw Atlanta come down, win the game. For us, we thought we'd won the Super Bowl at that moment, and we didn't come out and perform our best against the Jets. I think they took a 10-0 lead before we rolled off 21 straight points against them, because we knew the Vikings were going to be our key competition for that Super Bowl game. But you know what? The one thing about that team, though, it really didn't matter who we played. We were really focused on defending that title. I remember Shannon Sharp standing up in our locker room and telling the guys that there's been teams that win one in a row all the time. But if you're going to be special, if you're going to be a team that people remember, you got to go back and defend your title. And that's what we were so focused on doing that year.
Yeah, that is for sure. And that's what you did. They always talk about teams having these window of opportunities. The Vikings team and the 15-1 team had their window of opportunity. You ended up being teammates with Randy Moss a little bit later on. The Viking team of a couple of years ago, they went to the NFC Championship game again and lost to in overtime in gut-wrenching fashion with Brett Favre throwing the pick after having such a marvelous season. And a lot of those guys are still on this football team, yet you've understand that. Is there such a thing? You look at it that way and go, do the players sense it, feel it, that we have this just a few-year opportunity to kind of win that Super Bowl ring?
Yeah, you definitely have that window of opportunity, like you said. And for the Vikings, who knows if this team can get that window back open a little bit. And the thing about this team, we touched on it earlier, is the new faces in these leadership positions. I mean, you got a new coach with Leslie Frazier, so it's going to take time. You got a new quarterback with Donovan McNabb, relatively new, and so it's gonna take time for those key positions. So, and I know a lot of fans are wondering right now, do we stick with McNabb or do we go and hand the keys over to the young guy Ponder and let's see what he can do? And that's an interesting decision that Frazier has to make. Is he gonna look to build right now or look towards the future?
Well, it is an interesting decision. I think there's also a business part of it as well, because they could be facing potential blackouts here in the fan base right now. Whatever, they always want the new kid on the block, and I don't disagree with that, because he's going to be the quarterback. At least they want him to be the quarterback next year, and so, well, that's for another discussion as well. As you look at the National Football League, and having played the tight end position yourself, I mean, I watched the Packers again on Sunday, and you watch New England. I mean, this is just an explosive passing league right now. You mentioned Adrian Peterson, but very few teams can just win by running the football. And have you seen the evolution change even more since you retired, Byron Chamberlain, about the way that you have to? The Packers don't even care if they give up points. They're going, okay, we're going to score 45 and you try to beat us.
Yeah. So the game has definitely changed more so to a passing league. And the rules, too. I mean, with all the rules about protecting the quarterback and protecting defenseless receivers, it's giving offense has the opportunity to put up monster numbers in the passing game. But I still believe that you have to be able to run the ball, especially late in the year when you go to places like Green Bay and you go to places like Chicago and you go to places like New York. You got to be able to run the ball in those tough conditions. I guess the great thing about this year is the Super Bowl is being played indoors.
That's right.
In Indianapolis. So if you get there and you got a team that maybe doesn't run the ball enough, or just kind of throws it on the yard, you don't have to worry about those elements being playing indoors. But I still believe that that's the number one thing, that you have to establish the line of scrimmage, and you got to be able to run the ball late in games and late in the season.
Yeah, they say you build the team inside out, and it's both offensive defensive lines have to be there. And there's a toughness element that when you watch a team like the Baltimore Ravens that just basically come and smack you in the mouth and say, you can talk about your glossy statistics, but we're going to beat you up. And that's how we're going to win games, and that's the way the Pittsburgh Steelers have done it for years as well.
Yeah, most definitely. And that's the way most teams that win championships, they have that element about them that, we're tougher than you, and we'll be more physical than you on that field.
What was it... What was it like to have Randy Moss as a teammate? I mean, he had such an enigmatic character here with the Minnesota Vikings for his two times that he was here, especially his last run here last year.
Yeah, Randy, the thing about him, and I was talking with a couple of guys that did a golf tournament out in Phoenix last week, and they were talking about the athletic guys and most, best athlete I played with. He was the best, as far as God-given talent. No one could match him. He must have stand in line when God was handing out talent. He stood in line twice or something, because it just they called him the freak, and he's just freakish athletic talent. Along with that, you got some of his personality, and you didn't know what you were going to get one day or the other. Being a teammate, you always wanted to have his back and always defend him. But there were some things that you just couldn't. He had the incident with the police officer downtown of hitting the car, and that's something that you want to support a guy, but as a teammate and as a person, I can't stand up for that, because one thing that I've always been taught was to respect all authority figures and when it comes to police officers and things like that. But talent-wise on the field, there was nobody better.
What was Mike Tice like to play for?
I liked Mike Tice, and his brother John was actually the tight end coach. He was a guy who wore his heart on his sleeve, and he's passionate about the game of football. I think, in just my honest opinion, he's a great offensive line coach. I really didn't think he was cut out at the time to be a head coach, just because of the experience factor. But when he worked with the offensive line and worked with our tight ends and fullbacks to get our blocking, our pass protection, and our running games, there wasn't many guys better than him in the league.
Do you like? And we talk about Randy Moss. We're looking at Calvin Johnson right now with the Detroit Lions, who they call Megatron. They think he's almost a bigger, tougher, almost taller version than Randy Moss. The man is massive, and he seems to have found his rhythm, found his game, and found his quarterback right now. He looks almost a different version of Randy Moss right now.
Yeah, he by far right now is the best receiver in the NFL. He's so athletic, so tall, so fast, and he's a guy that you just put in the vicinity, and he's going to go get it. And what the thing I really love about him is in the crunch time, when his team is down, he's the guy that steps up huge. It's not some other guy. He's not the guy that they're trying to use as a decoy. Everyone in the stadium knows he's getting the ball, like the game against the Cowboys. And he comes up and he makes those plays. He's on an unbelievable roll right now, I think with four straight games with two touchdowns.
Yeah, absolutely, and yet the Vikings have a guy that coming in this weekend, they're going to play their own local kid. You remember Larry Fitzgerald Jr. is arguably one of the top two or three receivers in the game, just a much different style, though, isn't he, Byron?
Yeah, he's a different style than Megatron, but I really like this guy, Calvin Johnson, and It's funny because Rob Ryan said that they face better receivers in practice for the Cowboys. I'm like, wow, if this guy would be the Cowboys' third receiver, they must got some heck of receivers down in Dallas.
Yeah, he shot his mouth off a little bit too much. Yeah.
I don't even think he believed that.
I don't think so either. It's nice to build up your own guys, but you may not want to say that the week before you play Detroit. So right now, as we sit here in early October, Byron Chamberlain, if you were to pick your Super Bowl favorites to be in Indianapolis in February, who would you take? Who's the best in the NFC? Who's the best in the AFC right now?
Well, right now, it's looking like the defending champion Packers are the best in the NFC. They look unstoppable. Their quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, if Tom Brady's the best, he's 1B because he looks phenomenal. Looks like there's no throw he can't make on the football field. He's just playing with a ton of confidence, and the defense stepping up, make plays. You see Woodson with the pick six for a touchdown, and you got the Matthews kid who's phenomenal. It looks like the Packers are the best team in the NFC. It looks like there's a lot of challengers out there in the AFC, but. I really think Baltimore is on a mission. They looked good last night against.
Boy, they sure did.
And the Jets being one of the teams that a lot of people were picking in the preseason to make a Super Bowl run, but the Baltimore Ravens show that their defense is still top notch and they still can make plays with Flacco. So right now, that's my early pick for Green Bay. And the Ravens.
It's hard to disagree with that. And Byron Chamberlain, it was great catching up with you. Best of luck to you out in San Diego. Congratulations on getting your degree, and we'll try to catch up with you down the road as well.
Well sure. I'm going to make it out to the Twin Cities, and I'll sit down with you on your other show.
I love this. Love to see you again. Byron Chamberlain joining us this week on Vikings Purple Pass. This is Mark Rosen. Thanks for joining us here on The Fan.
This has been Vikings.